He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. I'm telling you why God is going to get you. When I grew up, I had this conflicted, really conflicted picture or message about God. Because on the one hand, God was presented as this loving, father-like figure. And on the other hand, God was presented as this judge in robes, sitting on a throne somewhere with a clipboard, just making sure that I was doing everything right or wrong. And I could never quite figure out how that could be. Because I know that my parents are human, and there is nothing on this planet that I could have done or do that would prevent my parents from loving me unconditionally. There is nothing that my son could do on this planet that would prevent me from loving him unconditionally. So it made no sense to me that this God, this creator of all that is, would be needing my obedience and obeisance, or I was going to get punished. My God had to be bigger than Santa Claus. And so began my questioning about what God is, who God is. Did you notice the name of the talk today is What is God? Did some of you think, well, shouldn't it be who is God? I'm here to tell you it doesn't matter. I'm here to encourage you to consider that whether you think God is a being, a who, a he, or whether you think God is energy or the force, or whether you think God is, there is no God. I'm here to encourage you to consider that whatever name we give it, the part that matters is that there is something that has brought us together, that has created the beauty and the pain around us. And that's what Unity believes. Unity has five basic principles, but really the two foundational principles that we have is that there is only one power, and that power includes us, that there is no spot that God is not, including us. The first principle, what I think of as one universal power, you guys have heard me sing this birthday song a bunch of times. I'll sing it again for the folks from White Rock. But what happened was, Unity has five basic principles, but no one can remember what they are, or very few people can remember what they are. And so on the long drive back from Whistler one weekend, I said to Walt, I need to put this into a song so that I remember it. And so what I came up with was to the tune of Happy Birthday, and it's one universal power, a network of all, ideas lead to experiences. Take time to be still, you'll live in peace. Five. Thank you. And this way I actually remember them. Yay, good for a Unity minister. But the idea of one universal power is in itself amazing, because it has implications about how we live. And imagine how we could live if we could buy into just that one idea that there is one power. God is. Energy is. The force is. Quantum is. It doesn't matter what you call it. God is. I looked up on Google many years ago to see how many names I could find for the word God. And I came up with over 114 official words for God. And there are probably thousands more that are less like religious based. God, good, spirit, Allah, Shiva, mother, father, goddess, spirit, universal energy, divine intelligence, the force, divine mind, love, life, Tao, Gaia, and more. What if we didn't care about what it was called? In the book, The Secret, James Ray writes, you go to a quantum physicist and you say, what creates the world? And he or she will say, energy. Well, describe energy. Okay, it can never be created or destroyed. It always was, always has been. Everything that ever exists always exists. It's moving through form and out of form. You go to a theologian and you say, what is God? Describe God. The theologian will say, always was, always has been, never can be created or destroyed. All that ever was, all that ever will be, always moving into form, through form, and out of form. You see, it's the same description, just different terminology. This idea that there is ever-present, ever-intelligent intelligence surrounding us is an idea that isn't unique to unity. It's as if we kind of know at some level that it doesn't make sense for there to be different names for God and only my God is right. I have this vision of all the different names for God sitting at a table having tea up in heaven somewhere and looking down at all the chaos created in their names and shaking their heads and saying, they still haven't got it. In the Bhagavad Gita, God is referred to this way. By me is this entire universe pervaded. All things are in me and I in them. Know that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests in the sky, all created beings rest in me. I am the father, the mother, the supporter, and the grandsire of the universe. Isn't that beautiful? So poetic. All created beings rest in me. And for those of you who know me by now, my personal favorite definition of God is the Force in Star Wars. That I could wrap my head around. Thank you, Luke Skywalker. The idea that you have an energy field and that we are all part of the energy field that surrounds us, penetrates us, binds the universe together. I can wrap my head around that. So what are the consequences if we could believe and know that there is one power? What are some of the implications? First, the implication is that there is no need for flattery. There is no need for favoritism and advocating for my side in God. If you think of the sun, it may be a useful analogy. In Matthew, we are told, the Father causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. The sun likewise shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. If we think of the sun shining, it doesn't care where it shines. Yes, sometimes the clouds are hiding the sun, but it doesn't mean it's not there. What if God was like the sun, always present, always ready for us to notice that it's there, but taking no sides? What does that mean? That means that we aren't guilty if we do something, then something horrible happens to us. God is. It's all included. That means things like life and death and sickness and health are all part of God. War, even war, is not an absence of God. It's just God expressing, us expressing, at a level that is not really productive. But it doesn't mean that God is not there. And this is a huge shift in understanding, because don't we always think God is good? And if God isn't, if it's not good, then there, God is absent. Well, maybe all that's happened is the equivalent of a cloud. God is always there. Energy is always there waiting for us to use it in a productive way or a destructive way. No spot that God is not. That means that if I am going to war and praying to God over here, and my ally, my foe is over here praying to the same God, how does this stuff make sense? And yet our human nature insists that we must have the right way, and that the other person by definition then must be wrong. If we could see that we are all connected, that we are all praying to the same God by whatever name our understanding is, then we could relax. We could accept. Maybe not so much embrace if we don't feel that strongly, but we're all just trying different ways to understand the mystery of life. And there is mystery of life. Think of the harm that has been done in the name of "My God is better than yours." Today, even today, did you ever consider that the three major religions on the planet, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, that all three of them pray to the same God? All three pray to the God of Abraham. What if we could accept that each is doing the best they can with the framework that they are working in, and not try and impose our will on someone else? If we could believe that there is no spot that God is not, that it's all included, then we would increase our acceptance of all paths. The atheists, the agnostics, the denominations that aren't officially Christian, and the denominations within Christianity that range from far right to progressive. This is a radical idea. What if we could actually embrace Christian beliefs across the spectrum and people's right to choose whatever works for them so that they can connect to all that is, including them. Imagine the peace that would come with that acceptance. I think in the end, it's not what you believe, it's how you behave that matters. And in the name of religion, we have done so much harm to each other. Another aspect of this idea, that it is all God, is that, as I mentioned, it's all included. That life is not a contract. It's not a contract with God where we say, well, if I do this, then I'm going to have that. Well, sometimes that's true. And sometimes good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. And what we realize is life happens. It means we wouldn't have to ask questions like, what did I do to deserve this? If we could embrace the idea that it is one power, and that part of power, that power includes sickness and health, life and death, suffering and joy. It's all included. Because the other thing that's true is that there is no God on one side and devil on the other. Remember that Christa Berg song, it was called Spanish Train and Other Stories? Will, you know that song? And basically, it's a song written by Christa Berg about God and the devil on a train going to Guadalquivir, between Guadalquivir and Old Seville, playing chess for the souls of the dead. And this idea of God and devil has been sort of the picture on the shoulders, you know, God on one side and devil whispering on the other side. Well, it's all God. There is no dueling power. There's nothing other than energy. It's just that sometimes the energy is kind of mismatched or has a lower frequency. That doesn't mean that there are two dueling powers. Even that is a hard thing to wrap your head around. So I'm hoping you're not like looking at me like your mind is a pretzel right now. And one of the most important things then to take from this idea of one power is to trust that there is order in it all. As my mom says, it's all good. It's all good. And oh my gosh, sometimes that does not feel like the truth. When a person passes away unexpectedly, when something happens and our lives are upended and turned topsy-turvy, sometimes it's hard to believe that there is order amidst the chaos of our life. And yet, if you look around, you will see order everywhere. Order in the trees that are budding, that will now turn from beautiful blossoms to green leaves, and then those leaves will fall, and then there'll be nothing, and then the blossoms will start again. There's order. And there's order in our lives too, if we're willing to look at it. That there are times when things have happened and it feels at the moment like it was the worst thing. And then you look back several years later and realize that there was a blessing in it. if you can embrace the idea that there is one power, that there is order in that power, that there is no favoritism, that unpleasant and pleasant are all included, then you'll start to notice how often you label things as God was present, God was absent, God was present, God was absent, God is in this, God is not in this. I encourage you this week to look at that. Notice how often you see the presence of God and the absence of God. And see if you can shift to see God in all of it. And next week, we'll talk about how that applies to us and how we can see God in every face, as we sang earlier today. One universal power. That is what God is. And as Reverend Julie used to say, you could call it peanut butter. It doesn't matter what you call it, including not calling it anything, not believing anything. It's still there. There is no spot that God is not, including each and every one of us. More on that next week. I bless you.